2 Samuel chapter number 3. Enjoyed the singing. It's been good. The choir, congregation, and the specials. Thank you. You've been seated a while. Let's stand together. We'll read one verse together this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 3. And find verse 39. The Bible says, I'll read this verse and then I'll give you a little bit of context and summary of the chapter, but we'll read this verse together. Verse 39, the Bible says, "And I am this day weak, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness." You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. I want to preach this morning on the subject, I am, but I ain't. In 2 Samuel chapter number 3, just an overview of what's going on. David has been anointed king of Israel, and the kingdom is divided in two, the upper and lower, the northern and the southern kingdom. It's complete division, sort of like it was in America back during the Civil War, like two countries inside of one. They were at war with each other. And David has been called by God, anointed by God, to be king over Israel and to unite those two kingdoms. And God had promised him that he would be king over all of Israel. And so he is in pursuit of uniting those two kingdoms into one. And several things happen in chapter 3 in the life of the nation of Israel as David has been anointed and appointed to be king. And in pursuing the unity of those two regions and those two kingdoms, David had a man come from the camp of Saul, and he was going to help David unite the two kingdoms, and he thought he had a plan in place, and he thought everything was going smooth until one of David's best friends and most loyal members of his army ended up killing that man that had come from the other side. And Joab, you all know the name well, killed Abner. And Abner had come to help David unite the kingdom. And then because in a previous battle, Abner had killed Joab's brother. And so when Joab seen him, Joab and Abishai, they went and they killed Abner. And there David is left to pick up the pieces and make this thing still go. But it took a toll on David. And we picked up reading in verse 39. And David, after getting word that Abner had been killed, his go-to man that was going to help bring this all to pass, his best friend, one of his best friends, killed him. And he looks at all that's left and he makes this statement. He said, "I am this day weak, though anointed king." And David was depressed. He was down. The promises of God didn't look like they was going to come to fruition. And everything that he had set out to do seemed to be knocked back a long, long ways. And so we'll pick up there this morning. I want to preach, as I said, on the subject, I am. David said, "I am this day weak, though been anointed king." David did not let one day define him. He did not let one down day, one set of circumstances that set him back in time and in the plan of that he thought was by God. He did not let that, though he was that day weak, he said, I'm still king, anointed king of Israel. And so let's look at this. David said, "I'm this day weak, But then it's like he takes a breath. He's looking at how he feels. He's looking at the emotional roller coaster that he's on. And he admits, I am this day weak. And then he pauses and he goes on and says, though I am anointed king. And David is faced with two very strong emotions. They are polar opposites of each other. He is where many, if not all of us, have been and find ourselves often. And that's experiencing two different emotions at the same time. And I'll say more about that. But they are equally, listen, our emotions are real. We are emotional beings. We have feelings. If you don't believe that, get married. You'll find out that your spouse has feelings. And when you upset them or go against them, they will let you know. Their feelings have been hurt. But our emotions are real. They're equally as powerful and confusing. Is there anybody here who can testify, like David, you've had two completely different emotions working powerfully in your heart at the same time? It's an overwhelming feeling to have those two emotions seemingly at opposite ends of the spectrum at the same time, pulling you in different directions. We've all been there. I know if you're a parent and you got children, you've been there. You ever been so mad at one of your children? You want to smack the lips off their mouth, beat the devil out of them. And you was mad, and that emotion of anger was fierce at the same time you was having to fight back the laughter. Because you realize you are dealing with a miniature you. So that laughter and that anger is right there in the same person. A lot of times me and Jenny, I can make her mad. She'll be visibly mad. And then I will, it's one of my most favorite things to do, I will make her laugh while she's mad. And that makes her madder, a lot madder. Yeah. Two ends of the spectrum at the same time. Well, it's a paradox to be mad as you can be while at the same time fighting so you don't bust out laughing. It is a reality to have two different feelings that are as far as the east is from the west from each other, to be dwelling in the same person at the same time. And yet that's where David is. He said, I am this day weak, though anointed king. And so he's weak, but at the same time he's king. He's feeling defeated, but at the same time he's living in victory. And boy, if we can grab a hold of this morning, you do not have to live by what today is giving you. You don't have to be confined or defined by what is going on in your life today. There's a greater purpose. God has a greater will than just a setback in your life. And so when I saw this text, the Lord began to minister to my heart, because so many times as Christian people, we feel almost spiritually bipolar, like a spiritual schizophrenic, up and then down, joyful and then set back and defeated. And we've all lived there and we've all experienced that. But faith and fear often live at the same moment. Some of my greatest victories in my Christian life have come when my faith was at its highest. But I'll be honest and tell you this morning, when my faith was the strongest, that did not eliminate fear. Some of the greatest times in my Christian life have been, I had fear in my heart, but faith overruled that. At the same time fear was there, my knees were knocking, faith projected me forward. And that's so true. Sorrow and joy often share the same moment. You ever sat at a funeral, and while sorrow gripped your heart, at the same time joy would fill your heart? When you think about that person's no longer fighting cancer, that person who couldn't remember their name, Alzheimer's had taken its toll, dementia had reigned in their mind, and they couldn't remember their children's name. Now they've been set free, they're in heaven, no more pain, no more sorrow. So joy fills your heart. The joy of the memories you have, at the same time, grief. That's absolutely the case. Happiness and sadness often dwell together. Frustration and excitement, temptation and faithfulness. You say, how could that be? Well, you remember Jesus? He had just finished fasting 40 days and his body was weak. He had been as faithful as he could be, doing everything the Father had given him to do and fasting 40 days on top of that. And that's when Satan come to tempt him. If it happened to Jesus, it'll happen to us. When you're as faithful to God as you can be, that's when you need to be careful. Some of our greatest falls is from the highest points. And so exhaustion and refreshed go together. Motivated and aggravated. Hurting but helped. Broken but experiencing healing. Paul said this, talking about the paradox. I'm talking about the paradox of emotions. How one thing can be true at the same time you're experiencing something else. Listen to these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. See the paradox? It's saying one thing and then going right back the other way. And we experience both at the same time. Why? So that Christ can be made manifest in our life. That's exactly why. There's a human side to every one of us, but if you're saved, there's also a holy side to you. And both these bring emotions into our lives, and you must understand that you are not crazy for feeling that way. You're just a Christian. Torn one way to the other. Constant battle. You must understand that you will face both of these at the same time. Where you are ready to charge hell with a water pistol, at the same time your knees will be knocking. Fear will grip you. David said, I'm weak, but I'm anointed king. So let's look at this verse. It's just one verse, a few words. And I'll stay right here in the verse. We won't be long. You'll probably get out before 12 this morning. But I want to take this verse and break it down. First he said, and I am. He said, and I am this day weak, though anointed king. He said, and I am. He's speaking of experience your emotions, but don't be enslaved to them. Do you know you can experience grief, but you don't have to be enslaved to grief? You can experience depression, but you don't have to be a depressed person. And so he said, I am, right now, presently speaking, I am weak. But I'm not enslaved to being a weak person. And you can have weak days, and I have weak days, we all do. But you don't have to be a weak person. And so many times, sadly, people go through some tragic event in their life, and this is tragic for David. It was a real setback for him. But he said, by the grace of God, I'm not going to be defined by what I am today, because that ain't who God called me to be, that ain't who God created me to be. And ain't you glad you ain't defined by your worst day, by your weakest moment? You don't have to be. That ain't who you are. He said, I am, but I ain't. I am weak, but I'm not a weak person. And so life has hard times, absolutely. Hard times of heartache. We're supposed to hurt when we lose someone we love. Listen, if you don't hurt when you lose somebody you care about, you didn't care about them much. That's part of love, is grief when it's gone. We're supposed to grieve. We're supposed to weep. Until the tears no longer flow, and when our hearts are brought to a level of despair we've never known. That's part of love. And to take that away cheapens the love that you have. We're living in a generation to where it's looked down on to experience those emotions, those negative emotions. It's like they will medicate you or send you to a psychiatrist or whatever. If you have negative emotions, they have a fix for it. But in doing so, they have cheapened those negative emotions that God created us with. It's okay to not be okay at times in your life. We don't always have it together. And that's part of life. And you and I can't be defined by those times. Listen, it ain't always okay. And to live so shallow that you just bulldoze through life and nothing ever bothers you, that is a poor excuse of life. If you never get deeper than that shallow ground to where something can't bother you, I know people who won't be friends with other people, and they say, "Well, I'm not going to join the church because I've been hurt at the church." Well, if you've been to church and a member of a church any length of time, you've probably been hurt at a church. I have, many times. But hey, listen, I'm not going to live so shallow that I'm going to disassociate myself and detach myself from the church, because the church is where I find fullness and life and liberty and health. And so to separate myself because I could get hurt. I know people who said, "I'm not ever getting married again because I got hurt in a marriage." Well, you're going to live the rest of your life lonely. There's a chance that you're going to get hurt, because love is not all positive. There's negative emotions in love. God created us that way. That lets you know it meant something. It had meaning. And so it's okay to not be okay, because sometimes everything ain't okay. Don't discount the negative emotions of life. Experience them. I wrote this down. I think it's worth saying. While you're experiencing those negative emotions, don't become enslaved to those emotions. God help us to experience emotions, but not become those emotions. Do you know anybody that had something happen in their life, maybe the loss of a loved one? I know people this way. And they was defined and as a person, as being this godly, great person, a person of faith. And then they lose a child, or they lose a spouse, or something tragic happens in life, and they're never the same. The rest of their life, they are consumed with grief. No more faithfulness to God, no more the love of God, no more the joy of the Lord in their heart. But all they ever talk about, all they ever let come out of their mouth is the grief that they experience and the heartache and the... Listen, that is no way to live. That's right. That is allowing your heartache to define who you are. Amen. David said, "I am this day weak, but I'm anointed king. Amen. I have a greater purpose than this tragic setback in my life. And so do you." Amen. He said, "I am." So we can have sad moments, but we don't need to become sad people. I can have depressing experiences, but I don't have to be a depressed person. Have the emotion, but don't become the emotion. I thought about a way to illustrate this. In America, they are a lot of different markets and businesses, and a lot of them are successful. But one that's on the rise, and I hear it a lot lately, is identity protection. Have y'all ever heard of LifeLock? That is a very successful company. And they have made a business out of protecting your identity. You get online or whatever, they protect your social security number, your address, where you live, who you are, and everything about your personal identity. LifeLock protects that. So much so, last I checked, Americans want that business so much, they've made them worth $592 million. Over $500 million they're worth, because America said so. The point is, people care about having their identity protected. And I wish that Christians would care about having our spiritual identity protected as much as people do their personal protection. I know some Christian people that have lost their identity spiritually to grief. Amen. Somebody is stealing your identity. Sadness steals it. Discouragement has stolen it. Grief is stealing your identity. And you're allowing what you went through to define who you are. But I've come to tell you this morning, and if I could, I'd grab you by the collar and in Jesus' name smack you on both sides of the face and say, wake up! You are losing who you are. Amen. 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 And say to you, you are not that. You just come through that. Right. That didn't define who you are. Amen. That was an episode in your life, not your life. Right. Emotions come and go, but we, if we ain't careful, we will allow those negative emotions to define us, and it will no longer be something we went through, but something we are continuously going through. He said, I am weak. But notice the next phrase. He said, I am this day. This day. This day don't have to be every day of your life. We all going to have this day from time to time. But it don't have to be every day. This confusing influx of emotions are here today, but not for good. Today I'm weak, but I'm also king. Today I'm down, but I'm also anointed king. Today I'm discouraged, but I'm anointed king. David knew what we need to understand. It is this day. I cannot let this day dictate the rest of my life. I cannot let this setback define who I am forever. I can't allow it. Listen, you can afford a bad day, but you can't afford all days to be bad. And he understood that. He said, this day I'm weak, but not every day. We all experience this day when we are punched in the gut and have the wind knocked out of us. But this day don't have to be every day. David said, this day I am weak, though anointed king. But there were days in his life that David wasn't weak. David had days when he was strong and still anointed king. David had a day when he killed Goliath and he was still anointed king. David had a day when he brought the ark of God back to Israel and back to the people of God. And it was so blessed him at such a victory that he got out in front of the crowd in the city and danced before the Lord, a holy dance, until his outer garments fell off. What a victory. I'm saying, listen, he had setbacks. He had bad days. He had hard days. He had days of heartache, days of confusion. But he didn't allow that day, this day that he was experiencing, to be every day of his life. And neither should you. You should learn, and it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. I promise you, I know how easy it is to let this day roll over with you through the night and wake up and let tomorrow be this day again. And we dwell on the bad. But you can't afford that. You don't get but one life to live. Yesterday's gone. I mean, move on from that. Get up and by the grace of God, get up tomorrow morning and say, by the grace of God, I had a bad day yesterday. I had major setbacks yesterday. Things didn't go the way I planned yesterday. But this is a new day. God's mercies were brand new this morning, and He's given me grace that's sufficient today. He woke me up and loved me this morning. And so I'm going to be who He called me to be. Anointed king. Amen. He said this day. So I am this day weak. He had days where he reconciled the two kingdoms and was still king. Days where he brought back the ark of God, as I mentioned. We all have good days and bad days, but we tend to... ain't this truth? We tend to build monuments on our bad days. We mark them. I mean, you ask somebody and they'll tell you what day so-and-so died, what day their business shut down, what day they got divorced on. And we build monuments on the bad days. But hey, I'm not telling you not to, but if you're going to build monuments on your bad days, and you're going to remember your bad days and grieve in your bad days, which you should and you can, but if you're going to do that, then celebrate the good days. Shout on the good days. And learn how to praise God on your good days. Because, listen, you're going to need them. You're going to need monuments and memories of the good just like you do the bad. Amen. Amen. This day don't have to be every day. And you better be careful about making decisions when you're down in life. And I'm not going to spend long here, but I've made some decisions when I was down, when it was one this day, that I've regretted for a long, long time. I'm going to say this. You better be careful making decisions on your super high days just as well. I've made some decisions the next when things were so good, and I said, I'm going to do this, and I made that decision and did it. And then the next day or two, I thought, what in the world was I thinking? I committed to myself to this. Now, this is just funny and small, but the girls would come up to ask me, I say, Daddy, I want to play basketball, or I want to play volleyball, or I want to be a cheerleader, or do all of them at the same time, a little bit. And I'll say, on a good day, sure, baby, go ahead, sign up. And then she'll say, okay, I got 4 games this week and 14 practices. I'm thinking, what in the world was I thinking? Okay, Daddy, I got 4 games and 14 practices, and it's going to cost $300 for my new outfits and shoes. I was having a good day, and it didn't turn into this day. I'm just saying, you'll be way better off in life not to make important decisions when you're really high or really low. Because we'll quit things. I've done this. You'll quit things when you're at the bottom, and you'll realize, I wish I'd have never quit that. It could have been one of the most wonderful things in my life. I've quit jobs when things were bad and wish I hadn't. I ain't going to tell this, but I know some young people who have quit living at the house with mom and daddy when they thought things were bad. I just don't want them telling me what to do. What are you going to do? I'm going to go join the army. That shows how smart you are, you nut. That's how goofy we think, though. We just think things are so bad. One drill instructor later, you'll be wishing to God you had mama's cooking and all the luxuries of mama's house. Quit a marriage when things are hard, only to realize the next 4 ain't no better. I heard this said a wise man told this guy been married about 4 or 5 times. He's getting married his 4th time. He said, "May the 4th be with you." Life, for the most part, is not made up of super high days or super low days, just days. And so when we take one that's super low or super high, we ruin the normal ones. When we let a real bad one or a real good one get out of its place and have more weight than it should. We will have sad days, bad days, where we will have to say, I am weak, but we must also say, I am strong and victorious when we have the good days, so we don't live and be defined by our weakest. Number 3, and in closing, he said, I am this day weak. Last phrase, though anointed king. And I want to look at this just for a brief second and get you out of here. David said, though my emotions are down and right now I am weak, I am still who God created me to be. Boy, that's so big. Don't let one slip up and one mistake, one sin, define who you're going to be. God saved you. God loved you. He loved you so much He died for you. He's called you to do something. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Good. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a you don't have to be any of those things. But God called you to be something and somebody. Be that. By the grace of God, for the glory of God, be that. Don't be defined by your error, your mess-ups. Though Joab killed Abner, David said, the Lord will reward the doers of evil. You know what he was saying by that? He was saying, though my emotions are down, it is a reality. They're down. I'm weak today, but I'm still anointed king. And there's some things that I'm just going to have to put in the hands of God because they're bigger than me. David said, I can't figure all this out. It's been a bad, messed up day. You ever had a day that just come unraveled? And the harder you tried, the worse it got. You ever throw a bait caster? Somehow I'll do it and it'll look so easy and smooth. And I'll say, well, I can do that. And it just rat nest. I mean, and you spend the next however long cutting line and retying and rewrapping, and it just gets out of control. Listen, you know what I've realized? Brother Jeff, God didn't call me to be a fisherman. If I'm going, give me a Zepco 33 or an open face, but y'all don't have them other ones. I ain't a pro fisherman. That ain't what God called me to be. And if you can throw one, don't come up telling me about it. I don't need to know. But God's called me to be something. David said, it's been bad. I'm weak. This day I'm down. Though, anointed king, God has a bigger purpose for your life than your worst day, than your weakest moment. You and I don't need to let the devil have a field day with her this day. And don't let the things you cannot control control you. That's such a simple statement, but it's so profound and big. There's things in life you just can't control. You can't fix. Some of your children, I know this, I pray for them. Some of you got children that are far from God. And you want to fix it. You want them close to the Lord and right and under the umbrella of the blessings of God. But you can't fix it. So what do? Do you let that overwhelm you and drive you further from God? No, you realize that is out of my control. I can pray and I can trust God and I'm going to turn that over to God because I cannot fix it. Amen. Do you know what relief that'll bring you? That's not being a bad mother. That's not being a bad father. That is being a responsible father and mother like David was being responsible. And he's saying, I can't fix this and God will have to deal with what they've done. Amen. Something. Hey, listen. You're going to be a worse mother or father when you bite your fingernails to the quick and have a nervous breakdown and can't help them at all because you've worried yourself sick over them on things you cannot fix. Amen. Only the God of heaven can. Amen. It's absolutely essential at the end of our emotions, whether good or bad, whether high or low, happy or sad, it's a necessity that we move forward. Not with our emotions, but with God's will for our lives. David said, yes, it's been a bad period. It's been a bad time. I'm weak, but I'm still anointed king. I'm still going to move forward. I hate that this has happened. I wish it hadn't happened. But even though it did, I'm still going to wake up in the morning and be king. I'm still going to fulfill my duties. I'm still going to walk forward in the will of God. There's still a country to run. There's still things that has to be done. I'm still king. And you are still who God called you to be, no matter how bad it got yesterday. David faced two emotions, but he leaned in the direction of the greater. He continued in his call despite the confusing, controversial episode he faced. I have days when I'm afraid, scared, down, distraught, weak, and feeble, but the Lord, thank the Lord on those days. I don't let them define me. I still am called. Hey, listen, you know my worst days? I'm still a preacher. When I fail the Lord the worst, I'm still a son of God, a child of God. When I deserve it the least, I'm still His. When I have failed as a pastor and a preacher, which I do all the time, Wednesday night if you wasn't here, I felt like I laid a goose egg bigger than this church building. And it was half y'all's fault because y'all wouldn't listen. I could feel my words just bouncing off the pews back at me. I went home, boy, discouraged. I said, man, I've been preaching this long and it's still this bad? You'd think I got some better in all this time. But you know what I did this morning? Though that was fresh on my mind, Brother Josh, Wednesday night, I thought, I got to go to that same pulpit, to them same people who didn't want to hear me last time. But you know what I woke up this morning with a mentality and attitude? I'm not going to let that day define me. Amen. God still called me to be a preacher. You didn't call me, God called me. And listen, when things go bad, I'll get up and try it again the next time. And so should you. I woke up this morning, I'm still a daddy. Though I failed them at being a father, I'm still their father. I failed at being a husband, but I'm still, by the grace of God, married and happy about it. And I'm still going to fulfill and walk forward in what He's called me to do, even though I've had these days. And you should too. You still a daughter of God. You still a servant of God. God still has blessings and a will and a purpose for your life. Amen. Even when you have these days. When you're weak and feeble and down and grief stricken. Wake up tomorrow and purpose in your heart, by the grace of God, I'm going to walk forward toward the will of God for my life. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for the testimony of David. God, even though when he was weak, he understood, Lord, You had a purpose and a will for his life, and he decided, by the grace of God, he would follow and wake up and do it again tomorrow, be better, be stronger, not be defined by his weakest points. I pray, God, for our people. I pray this for my own self, Lord. When we have these days, don't let those days define us, God. I am this day weak, but oh God, I am still though anointed king. I pray You put that in our hearts, Lord. Help us to lean on You, trust in You. God, I pray if there's anybody here lost today that don't know what it's like to have a calling and a purpose in their life, I pray this would be the glad hour they'd turn to You. I pray for that one that's struggling the hardest, Lord. Encourage them, strengthen them, that all their days won't be like these days. Lord, I know, I can see it and feel it as I was preaching. There's some in here that are weak. This is a day that they're weak, Lord. I pray You'd help them. Help them, God, to see their greater purpose, Lord. I pray You'd touch, in Jesus' name. As she plays, these are praying, You come. Do business.